Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I'm calling right back. Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Sunday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. As always, we like to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and always, God, we pray that it will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We have on the line with us this morning, Brother Jamal. Good morning, Brother Jamal.
Good morning, Pastor. Morning, everybody on the line. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Known as Good Old Sunday, it's the 22nd. So what we do here at the First Word is whatever Sunday the date falls on, that's the proverb that we study. Being that it's the 22nd of November, we will be studying Proverbs 22. And it starts off, says a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. I like this verse because it speaks to a good reputation is more desirable than great riches. It's a lot of people. My father, he told me a long time ago that he had met a coach, and I can't remember his name right now, but I think he used to coach the Redskins a couple back in his time. And, you know, he was saying that he came up to the guy, you know, he was asking for an autograph, and he, you know, was like, no, like, why is he next to me? Get him away from me. And that kind of made my father feel some type of way, you know, about the Redskins. You know, the Redskins is, who, you know, that's his team. You know, he died a Redskin fan. But because that man told him to get away, and why is he next to us, or why is he next to me, you know, that man, you know, could have stirred my father in a different direction. He could make look at the Redskins a little different just because that man that my father was talking to, he's a rich man. And he had a lot of money. But because the way that my father talked to him, and he talked to my father, you know, my father felt some type of way, you know, and I think that's what this scripture is saying. What you think about that, Pastor?
Yeah, it's amazing what riches do to a person's character. And that's why the Bible is always telling people to be careful when you're dealing with riches, because it allows you to, it desensitizes you to the point where you rely on money and riches, and you disrespect people, rely on God. And so it's very critical to have a good name, that you're reliable, that you're, you can be dependent on, that people will respect you whether you have money or not. And they realize that when they're dealing with you, it's genuine and not just a money thing. A lot of times people with a lot of wealth, they just put up with you. In other words, it's something that they have, you have to deal with. But a genuine person, a person of character, is really interested in you as a person. And that type of person has a good name with everybody in the community, not just the rich or those that have and the have-nots.
Amen. Brother Lee, you can chime in on the situation.
Brother Lee just went back in the sanctuary. You got Anthony and Minister G on the line, though.
Can I get Minister G to chime in on that conversation?
Yeah, good morning. I just got on the line. Can you bring me up to Steve?
We're talking about Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. We were talking about how people, you know, disrespect certain people because of the riches that they have, and they might disrespect the next man because that man doesn't have the riches that that the other man has.
Well, one thing about it, the money and all of those things will pass away. And when we all die, we all will be, our coffins will all be the same size. But when you have a good name, it speaks to the integrity and the character of the individual. And truly, you have some people who have money, but their character is not desirable, and they're not people of integrity. And sometimes that's how they continue to make money, by treating people any kind of way. And so I just believe that, you know, a good name is invaluable.
Brother Anthony?
Good name is what you guys are talking about, and I think that's key. And everything that you do, really, I mean, I'm a junior, and my name is Anthony Taysan Jr. When I go on, like, interviews and stuff, and they know my father, they talk about him highly, and they think about me. So it's like, you know,
amen.
His reputation follows him. So I got big shoes to fill, but a good name comes with a lot of responsibility also.
Amen. And I like verse number 2 because it's kind of funny to me, because after we even talked about that, verse number 2 goes to say, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. So if we really understand that, you know, the Lord is the maker of all of us, and, you know, if people that are already wrapped up in their riches, I'm sure that, you know, God is taking a back seat to them right then, you know, and because when you become rich, a lot of things play in, you know, a lot of, especially when you get rich, a lot of people say, I did this and I did that and I did this and I put in this work and I put in the grind and things of that nature. And, you know, we just like Pastor said, we treat each other different because of the money that we have or don't have. But the reality of it is that all we have, we all have this in common, that the Lord is our maker. So when we understand that the Lord is our maker, then we should treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Pastor?
Amen. And, you know, it's one of the things that my grandfather would say, that no matter what you do, do it as unto the Lord. And if you keep that in mind, you can be, maybe he would say, if you're a ditch digger, be the best ditch digger that there is. People know that if there's a ditch needed to be dug, that they can call on you because they know your integrity, they know your character, that you're not going to cut corners, that you're going to do it right, not just one time. And then this is what I really hope us as men in this men's ministry, the First Word, is getting this wisdom is not and this knowledge is not, and the understanding is not just for one day, but it's for every day. And that's why I like Proverbs has 31 Proverbs, but we have to live all 31 of them every day. So like I was saying with that ditch digger, if he's a ditch digger, he knows that on the first day he's going to dig it right. He's going to make it right. He's going to put the proper materials and things. He's going to show up on time. He's going to put the proper forms in place. And the same thing he did on the first day is the same thing he's going to do on the 31st day. So in other words, that's how you build up that character. That's how you build up being a man of God that walks in a way that you might be rich or you might be poor, but I have character. You know, God made both of us. You can be a person of outstanding character, and I can be a person of outstanding character, no matter what your call is in life, whether you're rich, poor, black, white. If we have the integrity of God, and God is not a respecter of person, whatever our role is, we can do it well because it's God who gives us the ability to do it well. And so that's a very important thing we as men is to say that, you know, this is not just something I'm doing on Sunday, but this is something I'm doing every day to make sure that people see the character of God in me and realize that that same God, whether you're rich or poor, can bless you the same way.
Amen, amen. And oftentimes my father says, when we talk about money and stuff like that, my father says, well, in 1,000 years, what is it going to mean? It ain't going to mean nothing. In 100 years, what are the clothes that you wear? What is it going to mean? The only thing that's going to mean something in 100 and 200 years from now is if your soul was right with Christ. That's the only thing that's going to matter, because God's not going to let us into heaven according to how much money that we had, how fly our gear was, how bad our lady was, how bad our house was, cars. You know, God is not going to let us into heaven over that. Only that if you believe in his son, that he died on the cross for you and rose on the third day for your sins, is the way we're going to get into heaven. So we have to look at these things and make sure that, yes, it's okay when we're on this side to have nice things. But if your soul is not in line with God, you're not in that favor line, then you ain't doing too much. You might have a lot of money. You might have, you know, all the Jordans. You might know Jordan personally. Get them custom made. But you ain't nobody unless you're a part of God's team, unless you're a part of the family. And like you said, Pastor, this first word is so important, you know, because we as men, we need to be equipped with the word of God, you know. And so when we go out, we're not just talking. We're talking the word of God, you know. So when we get into situations where, you know, we're usually ready to jump in action, we just speak the word of God, and things will come too. Because if we find out, when we look at it, when we look at our situations and we took a situation to our own hands, we find ourselves digging ourselves deeper than we already were. But when we soon give it to Jesus, that's when we start to come out the hole, and that's when we start to see the light. Minister Jagan, chime in on that.
Yeah, well, one of the things that stuck out to me, you know, having a son, when I heard Anthony say that when he goes to interviews, that his father's name resonates and what his father has done, you know, has the potential to open doors for him. And so that was just a further realization that not only is my reputation at stake for me, and not only is it necessary for me to have good character for myself, but my son is going to have to come behind me one day. And I don't want people to look at my son in a negative manner based on how I carry myself. But I want my son to be able to say, I'm the son of Minister J, and for that to be a good thing, and for people to potentially open doors for him, and then, you know, to continue to teach him so that once he gets in the door, then they can see that he truly is a cut of that same cloth.
Amen. And, Brother Anthony, I want to thank you for that comment, man, because I never looked at it that way. I ain't a junior or nothing, so, you know, I haven't looked at it that way. But, you know, coming up in school, you know, I went to Crossland. My brother went to Crossland. You know, and for a little while, you know, that's Lil Brandon. That's Lil Brandon, woo, woo, woo. And so his reputation, you know, kind of rubbed off on me. And I was, you know, I knew coming in the ninth grade, I knew some of the 12th graders because of my brother. And, you know, so I definitely understand, you know, the way y'all put it. And I never looked at it like that. Pastor, has any verses stuck out to you?
Yeah, you look at this next verse, verse 3, it says, a prudent man seeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is a choice. And I know we sing that song, Choices That We Make in our church. But when you look at the choice that we have, we had a choice to stop, or we had a choice to run through. And I give it as there's a light. I don't know if you guys ever driven that way. There's a light on inbound Suitland Parkway. And the light is a red light camera, but it's also a speed camera. And so when you're coming down that hill where Suitland Parkway crosses Stanton Road, you have to slow down as well as stop for the red light. And many people in the morning when I'm driving that way, many people fly through the red light. Not only do they run the red light, but they get a speeding ticket on top of that. And so that's someone being simple. And they're blowing their lights and they're blowing their horns and flashing their lights. And I'm slowing down. And I'm making sure I'm going to stop on the red light. But, you know, this is like this verse that says you see evil or you see the problem. And you have to be wise enough to understand that, hey, if I go too fast and if I run this light, not only am I going to get a speeding ticket, but I'm also going to get a red light ticket. And when I get these tickets, they put points on my license. And when I put points on my license, my insurance company raises my rate, which end up taking money out of my pocket. So it's prudent to be able to see that this is bigger than just me getting through one light that I might get to the next light or my destination 1 or 2 minutes earlier. But the long-term effects of trying to get points off my license, 2 years, money coming out of my pocket. And so this is the same thing with evil and things that are not of God, is to understand that there's consequences that go on with it. You might get away with it at that moment, but 2 days later, they're sending you, or a week later, they're sending you that violation in the mail. And it's just like sin. Well, you can get away with it, but somewhere along the line, it's going to come back and it's going to cost you. So this is what we're trying to do with the first word, is get men to understand there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. There's a wise way and an unwise way to do it. There's a smart way and a foolish way to do it. And if we keep studying and keep applying this word to our lives, we'll end up a whole lot better off than the simple one who has to go through and get punished because they were too simple to heed to the laws of the land or the ways of God.
Amen, amen. Brother Anthony, can you chime in on that?
Yeah, I feel like... I just lost track of thought. But basically what I want to say was, it goes like down to the saying, if you know better, do better. It's like, if you're at work, you know, and you have a situation that's going down, and after you know how to fix the situation, don't let like 5 other people go do it, and then they fail. And you're just standing there, and you know how to fix the situation. And like, if your supervisor is standing there, there's no reason why, you know, that they shouldn't help you and they should just watch you fail. But I think that giving them the opportunity that I have to teach other people to do it the right way, I think that we should do that. And that we should tell younger people and, you know, teach the younger men that we know to do it the right way and, you know, to go about life. Certain situations you got to come at it different, if I can say it that way. But
You just gotta express to them, you know. That's the way I feel about that.
Amen, amen. And some things we have to learn the hard way. Especially as being men, I find that a lot. That, you know, a lot of men, we have to, you know, go through hell and back just to understand one simple thing. I was helping a friend move the other day, and he has children, so he brought these beds to this he brought the beds, so it was a manual that came to put the bed, how to put the bed together. Well, he has an uncle, and we call him Google It. You know, he's an older dude, but everything we say, he Google It, man, Google It, dog. So we call him Google It. So when him and Google It was putting the bed together, Google It didn't want to go by the instructions. He wanted to go by what he know, and the bed kept on collapsing. And you know, and I stressed that, man. You know, if the bed keeps on collapsing and the instructions are right there, why not get the instructions? Oh, man, that's what's wrong with y'all young punks. I don't need no instruction. And this, that, and the fourth, and the other. But the penalty was that the bed kept on falling. You know, it's one thing that us males had. We had pride, and we don't like people to tell us what to do. And especially as for the first word, I think that's a point, because the simple keep going. It says the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. It's just some people out here, just like Pastor said a couple first words ago. He said there's some people that just think they graduated from I Know Everything University, and sometimes we just have to let the people fall down and pay the penalty. But as people of Christ, we just like Pastor say, it's the right way and it's the wrong way to do things. And when it's the wrong way, there has to it's a penalty that we're going to pay. And it says, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. When we know, when we become the prudent, as the prudent, we will understand that when trouble comes our way, we're going to look to the hills that will come of our help. We're going to run into the place where we know that God, or we're going to run straight to God because we know he's the only one that can help us. But oftentimes, you know, even in ourselves, our flesh, sometimes we have to pay the penalty because of what our flesh wants to do. You know, understanding that when we're dealing with Christ, that we have to lay down this flesh, and we have to lay down this pride, and let him take over. What you think about that, Minister Jay?
Well, you know, lately what's been in my spirit, I've been telling people that when I look back over my life and I think about, you know, decisions that I've made, that there has never been a good time that didn't cost me something. And I think that goes in line with the word. Every action that we do has a reaction. But God has put people, things, and places in our lives. He's given us the Bible. He's given us the church. He's given us pastors. He's given us leaders, ministers to bring forth the word and educate us on the word. So therefore, when we get that warning, a wise man makes wise decisions. But sooner or later, I promise you that when we get tired of getting our head bumped, when we get tired of paying the price that lose more than we gain, then some of us have to learn that way. But then we begin to seek the things of God. I've never had a good time in God. I've never done anything for God that cost me something negative. Everything I've ever done for God has always resulted in his blessings and his favor. And when we get a revelation of that the world, though it seems like it has a lot to offer, and some of the things do feel good for a time, but is the price and the cost really worth it?
Hey, man, I think that's the trillion-dollar question right there. I know I've done some things in my life, and I know that, you know, like you said, it cost me. And sometimes it cost me a little, sometimes it cost me big. But when in doubt, it cost me, you know. So just like Minister Jay said, even like our youth nights, you know, when we had the church and we were having game night, you know, when we wake up in the morning, we ain't worrying about who is this beside us in our bed, or what happened, how did we get home last night, or what was said, or, you know, things of that nature. But just like the song says, the choices that we make, you know, shall determine eternity. Choices that we make, you know, sometimes, and sometimes when we make messed up mistakes, you know, I know I was talking, you know, on the phone with a wise man a couple of weeks ago, and I was letting him know that, you know, the things that you've been through, you know, they are not in vain. The things that you have been through have helped me be the man that I am today. So some of the choices that we have made, you know, God has always worked it out for us for the best. You know, some we don't go through things for ourselves. You know, we go through these things for somebody that's going to just be like us coming up. And you know, like I was telling that wise man, you know, I kind of thank God, you know, for all the things that he had been through, because now he's able to show me the way, able to show me, you know, nah, man, don't do it like that, because I did it like that. Don't do it like that. Do it like this. Because if you do it like that, this is going to happen to you. But if you do it this way, you know, this is the reward, you know. So, and once again, it speaks back to the choices, because all of that wise man was telling me, I could have, you know, just did what I want, you know. But the stories and the things that he has been through in his life, and that he is still here today, you know, that's a true testament. And to see this wise man, you know, a lot, you know, I run into this wise man a lot, and to see how God is still being faithful and moving in his life and still opening up doors, you know, you would be a fool not to try God's way, you know. Certain things in our lives, like I said, we must go through in order for us to be who we are today. And I just, you know, want to say that, no, we don't want to keep making these bad decisions, but don't feel bad about the bad decisions that you made in your life, because every decision that you made in your life, is God is making it work out for your good right now. Pastor?
Amen. That's the whole thing is but what man meant for our bad, God can turn around for our good. And we see that God allows us to go through things, because once we understand it, then it becomes a part of us. And once you know something, again, like that, running through that scenario, going down that street, and, you know, once you see that light flash and you know those bills are going to come, now you putting on brakes, now you slowing down. Now what you do is you trying to tell everybody else, hey, there's a red light here, the speed camera here. Don't do that, because it affected you. You got burned. You got the penalty. And now you're trying to tell somebody else. And once you go through those things, it becomes a part of you. So, yeah, that bad decision now is something where you want to share with somebody else and say, hey, don't go down that road, man, because, you know, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. That's not where you want to be. And as young, every generation needs to take the wisdom and learn from the mistakes of the next, the previous generation. Don't ever think that it's just about you, but it's about the people that are coming behind you. And we have to be willing to not only listen to the people coming behind us, but also the people that are before us. So it's a thing of collaborating wisdom with, you know, when it says train up a child in the way he should go, and another one of these verses. And when he gets old, he won't depart from it. We have to learn how to minister to each other. We have to learn how to, just sort of like with our unpacked, unconventional service, we got to learn how to reach people that are not normally going to be reached in a traditional type of service. And so we have to constantly evolve. We have to constantly seek God to allow us to be effective. And then when we understand that, then we can take the things that we made mistakes and flip it around, and then God can still get the glory from us having gone through.
Amen, amen. Brother Anthony, chime in on that? Amen. We.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm still here. Hello?
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was trying my phone off. But basically, I just wanted to chime in on basically like what you were saying earlier about the instructions. It's like, I don't think if you realize what you were saying, but if you thought about it, you were like, the instructions are right there, just use it. And the instructions are the Bible, so you should use it. And I think that was key in what you were saying.
I think a lot of people, you know, when it comes to the Bible, a lot of people read it like a book, you know, so they want to start at page 1, in that page, whatever, you know, it is. But when you got the word of God, you can just open it. And whatever page you land on, it's some meat on that bone, you know. So the word of God, especially on the first word, is so important to keep, you know, us sharp and keep us, you know, in the favor line, and iron sharpens iron. So, you know, it's important for us to be on the first word. There.
Amen. And that's going to do it for us this morning. Good word, fellas. We thank God for you. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep seeking God's face. And close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you for allowing us to be on the first word again. God, we thank you for everyone who has participated. And God, we pray that this wisdom, this knowledge, this understanding would continue to guide us through our lives. Father, we pray that as we continue on this day that you made, that you would allow us today to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would receive honor and glory to your name. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for the first word. Have a good worship, and prayerfully we'll see you on next Sunday on the first word. Goodbye.